Good to see everybody here tonight. All right. The lesson I'm going to present, 3 weeks ago, I did a lesson about the Christian's fleet. And we'll mention that in just a little bit of what was that was about. But that was all positive things, the type of fleet that we need to have in our armada. And of course, there's sometimes you put the wrong stuff and it doesn't work out too well. And so we're going to talk about methods of travel often related to the water, and they're comparable to methods that some people use on the church. So we're going to see what we're going to be talking about here. And yeah, that thing's not working too good. All right. Okay. See, the Christian fleet, we gave this sermon 3 weeks ago. It's a pretty good sermon. And it talks about the different ships were discipleship, fellowship, citizenship, workmanship, stewardship, friendship, and yes, having to endure hardship, and then, of course, elements of leadership. So those are some good ships that we want to have in our Christian fleet. And these are all qualities we should maintain and do. And we're going to notice some ships, other vessels that we should not use in our Christian fleet. And so when we get into these, you'll see what I mean. And there's various types of ships or boats or watercraft. And we can start off with the barge. You know, they use barges. And this is one who always pushed or pulled to do something or to carry a load, yet they have no ability or willingness to motivate themselves. Barges don't float up the river by themselves. They may flow down the river by themselves, but they don't flow up the river by themselves. They have to be pushed or pulled with a tugboat of some sort. And so, I mean, and they are good. They're a means of transportation, and it's an efficient way of moving material goods sometimes, and depending on where they're going. So there's a barge, and some people are that same way. Some people, you got to push and prod them just to get them to do something, and sometimes they don't want to do it. And so they have no motivation on their own. And then we know in the Navy they have a thing called a destroyer. And this Navy vessel is appropriately labeled. I mean, it's got all the weapons and all sorts of things. It moves real fast, and it can do a lot of damage in a short time. Sad thing is, some brethren will cause great harm towards others in a very short amount of time. And like Paul said of the Ephesian elders, here these are elders in the Lord's church, and he says, even from amongst yourselves will grievous wolves come out and devour the flock. And so he had to warn them about their leadership and the proper way of doing it. And so even some of them elders would cause people to lose their souls. And Paul mentioned several people by name who upset the faith of others and was causing others to turn away by teaching various doctrines, like the resurrection has already come, or this has already come, or something's already happened. And so he mentioned a few of them by name. Hymenaeus, Philetus, just a couple of them, a few others that he mentions. And they upset the faith. And they basically destroyed people's faith. And then there's the showboat. I mean, we've seen people like that. I mean, they're nothing but show. You know, we might talk about the fact of Matthew 6, 1 through 6, where Jesus says, you know, when you pray, don't go out in the marketplace and raise up your hands and make a big show and let everybody know you're praying to God. And don't put on the fancy clothing that says how religious you are. Now, if you're going to pray, go to your inner room in a quiet place. God is already there waiting on you. And so, you know, think about how many church members show up late just so they can be seen by others. I remember a sermon by by a black preacher, a very, very comical preacher, but he was making a point, and he talked about the dogs and dealing with the dogs. And he says that some of the ladies are like these poodle dogs. They put on a big fancy hat and just strut up the aisle so everybody can see their new hat. And they're just show creatures. So that was kind of comical. That whole sermon was very powerful. But anyway, some people just want to be seen by others, and they want to make a big show. And so, of course, some people, they like to show off or brag to receive praises. Some people go fishing for compliments. Yeah, that's where pride steps in. So we got to be careful about that. But there is no question there are some people who are nothing more than showboats when it comes to the Lord's people. And then there's a submarine. Yeah, these work by stealth. They come in there unawares, and they come in to cause harm to their brethren. And the scriptures warn of this. You know, Galatians 5 mentions these in the works of the flesh, those who subdue and subvert the faith of others. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about these people who go into the widows' houses and get them to do things that they shouldn't be doing, and they do it to cause harm to their brother's reputation and to sow discord among brethren in a non-visible way. You know what God says about those whom the Lord, those who cause division, those who sow discord among their brethren? That's one of the seven things the Lord hates, and the seven is an abomination. One who sows discord among the brethren. You know, the psalmist said how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so there's people come in, and they don't come out, they don't wear one of these alphabet letters on their back saying, okay, ATF or FBI. No, or they didn't say FT for false teacher. No, they don't come out and say, okay, I'm a false teacher. No, they come in there, and they can cause division. I heard a man one time, I knew a man who actually bragged that he could go into any congregation and cause a split within 6 months. I mean, he said that. And believe it or not, he also wrote a few commentaries and for the Brotherhood. And so sometimes some preachers, I mean, they shock you what they might actually say in person. And so anyway, there are some who are like submarines. They come in, they do their damage, and sneak away without anybody paying attention. Now, unlike the submarine, there's a thing called a PT boat. And you know what these are. They carry the torpedoes with them. And they go out and sink ships. But they do it on top of the water, not underneath the water. And so they do their harm out in the open, just like some false teachers come out and they do their harm out in the open. Some of them, maybe they get into the pulpit and they start promoting their various thinking, which is not what we are used to. And they can capture people that way and get people on their side and turn things around. I mean, if the person came in here who was set on destroying this congregation came in here, they could do it. And they've tried to do it in other places, and they've succeeded in some places. So yes, they focus with a vision and seek to do harm to others, knowing full well that what they're getting others to do is not going to help them get to heaven. There are some nefarious characters that are actually have that type of mindset. Just like Satan, I don't want them to go to heaven, so I'm going to upset their faith. There's actually people like that. Yeah, we might mention a cargo ship. Well, carry goods. Yeah, sometimes that's good. But we sometimes use the phrase, this person has a lot of baggage. maybe if they're coming from other places or maybe if they jump around, they have a lot of baggage, a lot of problems that they kind of bring with them wherever they go. And they carry a lot of baggage. And so that's why a cargo ship is probably not a good idea to have in our fleet. Now, if we're carrying something like the gospel message, okay, that would be appropriate. But if you're carrying the baggage and the discord and the problems, it's not good. Now, as another word, a skip, we heard that, and I grew up always thinking they were always calling it a skip. Actually, it's called a little skiff. And it's a tiny little vessel that moves people or supplies from one boat to another. You know, like when the fleet is out there, they move and things around. Sometimes they might string a wire across and transport people in a basket or transport goods or papers in a basket or something like that. But sometimes, and if the fleet's out there, out in the harbor, then the skiff comes in and brings people to the shore and then takes people back out to the boat. And that's what it does. It just moves people and supplies from one place to another. You know, some people skip from one church to another. They jump around. I'm not talking about you guys back there. I understand what's going on. But there are people that just go from one church to another. They'll go here for a little while, and then when all of a sudden they people start asking them to participate and do things, they go to another place. They don't want to participate, so they just go. They're trying to make sure their conscience is not violated by missing church, but they don't want to do anything. So they just go around from place to place. Now, some places that's difficult to do because to find a sound, faithful congregation, you got to look really hard to find one and stick with that. But some places, like where I'm from in Texas, there were over 200 congregations in the Houston area, and about 50 of them were very conservative. And so, I mean, at least 42 of them were very conservative that I would have no problem fellowshipping with them. But still, some people move from church to church, and they stay long enough just to cause a few little problems or get people wondering about what they're doing. And then when they try and talk, hey, come on, let's have a cup of coffee and discuss a few things about our faith. And they're gone. Bye-bye. They went somewhere else. Many people skip church from time to time, and they skip out on their duty. You know, some people do that. They just skip church, and they think church is optional. I mean, that's how they behave. Whether they actually feel that way or not, I don't know. You can't read people's hearts, but you can see the result of their actions. And some people, they just skip church, and they really don't have a problem with that. And, of course, there are some who basically do so to skip their duty. They don't want to be asked to lead prayer. They don't want to be asked to participate or lead singing or anything. So let everything get going and then come in late. Sure, that solves that problem. A rowboat. Yes, it takes a lot of effort. One does have to work to get anywhere in a rowboat. And we could look at this in a positive nature because we've got to work if we're going to get to heaven. We're going to have to work hard. But the person who works is always going backwards in a rowboat. A person is always going backwards. So they have to look and see where they're going unless there's someone there saying, okay, put a little bit more pressure on that right side or whatever. And so anyway, they're always having to look backwards. And we know that. I mean, remember Lot's wife? Looking backwards. And Jesus warned about looking back. You know, some people, when they come out of the world into Christ, they keep looking over their shoulder and looking back. Now, if we do that to realize, okay, we were sinners, we were wrong, I mean, that's one way of doing it, and we should always keep that in mind. But some people, oh, I miss my friends, I miss my fun, I miss our Friday night get-togethers where we had the booze parties and all that. So some people look with fondness upon their former past life. And even the scriptures talk about some who did that. Demas. In one book, Paul called Demas a faithful servant. And then in Timothy, he calls Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. In other words, Demas went back into the world because he just didn't want to continue being a faithful Christian. And so some people do that. So, yeah, people always looking back. I mean, why are they looking back? It is good for us to look back to remember where we came from, but it's not good to look back and say, oh, I miss all my fun. I wish I was doing that again. When we know full well we shouldn't be. So, yes. You know, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us where we need to put our gaze. Fixing your gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so, that's what we need to do. All right, a flatboat. I don't know if you've ever been on a flatboat, but if you ever try and ride in one of those things, enough said. I mean, they tip over real easy. They can't really handle a lot of weight. And if you do any moving around, you're going to be in trouble because it's going to tip over on you. So you don't want to mess with a flatboat. Some flatboats are pretty big and they really don't tip over, but that's enough about that. And then there's a battleship. Okay, here's one of those ships we talked about a few weeks ago. And we're going to talk about the battleship. See, some who go around and cause disturbances among the brethren. We've kind of mentioned those already. And some who are always looking to start a fight or enter a fight. And that's the reason why they come. They're ready. They're loaded to get into an argument and get into a discussion and upset people's faith. There's actually brethren who go around to different congregations and start different things, especially when some new doctrine comes around and starts affecting the brotherhood. I mean, in recent years, we've had that, what we call the AD 70 doctrine, Max Kingism, realized eschatology. I mean, it comes under different titles, but they're all teaching that Jesus already came back and we missed it. And so, really, we have no point of existing today. And so there's no reason to be remembering the Lord's Supper with no reason to remember because Jesus already came back. And he's gone. He's done and gone. I mean, they miss so much in that doctrine. It is so full of holes and has been discounted time and time again, and yet they keep promoting it. They keep going around and trying to get people to recognize, well, Jesus already came. So they do stuff like that. They like to start these fights, and they do this. They go around with a purpose in their mind is to get people's faith upset, to turn away from what we believe and teach, that we're still waiting for Jesus to come back and claim us as his own, and they teach that we're wrong about that. And sadly, they have people who are falling into that trap and going along with it. Because the end result is, well, since Jesus already came, then I can just live life however way I want to. I don't have to worry about it. Because none of us have any future to look forward to. Of course, they have to ignore the passages that says after Christ comes the judgment and then everybody's either in heaven or hell, how can we still be here on this earth? I mean, they just can't answer a lot of these questions. But yet, and sometimes about a battleship is they do it from a distance. You know, some projectiles from a battleship can travel 30 to 40 miles. A long way. And of course, if they have missiles, that powered missiles, they can go even farther. But these projectiles they send out, I mean, 30, 40 miles, so from a long distance away, they can send out and rain a barrage of bombs and things onto a location. Some people do that. These people who are under this new Max Kingism or whatever you want to call it, I mean, they sit there and organize, we're going to go get that congregation, we're going to go get that congregation, and they plan out which congregation they're going to go and work some members to get them to buy into it so that they'll sit there and, well, we'll fire their preacher who preaches what I preach and put someone in there who will teach this new theology, new doctrine. People actually do that. And they do make plans. And there are some groups that are out there making plans how to take over different congregations and change them, change their core structure from either conservative or turn them into a liberal. I mean, it just, they do that. Another boat, and some people like this, some people like sailboats. And these are the unstable souls caught by every wind of doctrine. You know, Ephesians 4:14, unstable souls. They just go, wind blows this direction, I'm going that way. The wind blows that direction, I'll go that way. And you know, in some churches, you can have a change in preachers and two totally different doctrines being proposed. Hey, they'll just go along with it without questioning it, without, wait a minute, that's not what the other preacher said. And they'll never sit there and question, is that right or not? Well, they must know what they're talking about, so because they're the preacher, so we'll just go with it. I mean, so that's what some unstable souls do. Whatever's the current, you know, I used to call it the flavor of the week. Whatever the flavor of the week is. I mean, we had so many discussions many years ago that, I mean, that's what I got down to the point. Okay, what is it this week we're going to be discussing? Well, let's discuss that. Let's just discuss the Bible with that. And then there's a cruiser. Yeah, this is a bigger boat. Of course, we could look at the cruise lines. Cruise ships that are just humongous these days. Hold 5,000-6,000 people on them. But there's a cruiser. I mean, this is an easygoing individual that is never impacted by the plight of others. Okay, everything's cool. Don't worry about it. I mean, that seems to be their mantra. Everything's cool. You're okay. I'm okay. I'm not going to worry about it. Don't worry about it. And then if someone else is struggling, they really don't care. In fact, they don't care about anything. I mean, so they can see needs around them everywhere. And we all can. And they can just cruise on by. They can easily cruise out of responsibilities. And that's a problem we have with some people. They cruise out of their responsibility. Oh yeah, they still want to make sure their name is on the membership directory, but if there's a work day, oh, I got to work. I got to do something else that day. And there's always something comes up that we can just cruise on by. A canoe. Now, they're not easy to deal with. They're very unstable, and you sure do not want to lose your instrument of guidance. I'm talking about the oar. I mean, you lose that, there's not much you can do with it. See, people think they can get through life without the great instrument of instruction, the Bible. And sooner or later, they discover that they are on up the creek without their paddle. I mean, people try and do that. They go through life, and They can do it without God guiding them, and then all of a sudden, they have no idea where they are. They're up the creek without the paddle, and they can't get back to where they need to go. I mean, that's something very dangerous. And so, that's a problem with the canoe. Then we've heard of a pontoon boat, similar to a flat boat, but it just uses a couple pontoons. And these people float around and never seek any stability. And that's kind of like the drifters, ones that go, the skiffs, go back and forth between churches. See, they float from church to church and never accept responsibility. They're always a visitor. They're never a member. And they do that. And they are easygoing and never get in a hurry or show any sense of urgency at all. They're always visiting, always visiting. And therefore, they're not asked to do anything, really. Not asked to lead singing, not asked to do the Lord's Supper. A lot of times, not even asked to do prayers. And so, they're easygoing and never get in a hurry. And we could talk about a pleasure craft. Of course, nowadays, enough said in the scriptures about pleasure to know we do not need to be on this boat. But sadly, many stay there and make it their abode. And so that's not good. I mean, when you start thinking pleasure craft, I mean, you think, okay, easy going. I mean, a lot of these other boats we've discussed kind of falls in the same category. Then there's a houseboat. The person living a certain lifestyle, and when the waves get rough, they just pull up anchor and take off to another climate or surroundings. I mean, if it's too rough where you are, just get up and move to another part of the lake, another part of the bay, another part of the river, wherever you're putting yourself. I mean, so that's what they do. And so there's no real stability with these people. And people are like that. I mean, when all of a sudden things start getting testy, and, well, how come you never help us with anything at the church? Time to get up and move down the river, or move up the river, or wherever they want to go. Well, fishing boats. All right, this could be a positive thing because we should be fishing for men. I mean, let's face it. Jesus told the fishermen, I'll make you fishers of men. And so, yes, there's something. It is one thing to try and go and help people become saved. I mean, so that's a positive thing when we think about that, when we're fishing for men's souls. But you know what? Some people just fish for compliments. That's all they're good for. They just fish for compliments. They fish for social pleasure as long as everybody lets us participate and we'll have a good time. I mean, they fish for worldly desires sometimes. And they fish for attention and fish for power. And unfortunately, they use the faithful as bait for their deceptive practice. And for after all, isn't that what fishing is all about? Bait and switch. You know, you throw the bait out there, the fish sees a little minnow, and there's a hook underneath there. Yeah, bait and switch. I mean, that's the whole purpose of fishing. At least for some people. I used to fish for food. It always kind of just irked me when I watch these fishing shows, and they catch this huge fish, they take the hook off and put it back in the water. That just drives me crazy. All right, but anyway, the tugboat. Okay, we talked about the barge earlier, being pushed around. And the tugboat actually does more than just push barges around. These people are always pushy, or they are pulling people in ways that they probably should not go. Now, sometimes on the water, tugboats maintain a safety in navigation. They're used, they have specially trained people, they have the marine pilots, port pilots that go out, meet the ship, and bring it in so they don't get run aground or anything like that in the waterways. And so sometimes in rough waters, they need these boats because big boats sometimes are hard to turn. And so using a couple small boats to do the work makes it a lot easier for them. And so when they're trying to get into port, I mean, they have to get to a certain place in a certain position because the cranes are set up just to work in certain areas. The loading facilities are in certain places. So they've got to get them positioned just right. And moving a huge ship with a lot of weight, that's kind of hard to do. So that's why tugboats are used. And so, yes, they have their places. And getting them through the docks and narrow waterways, I mean, that's what they're used for. And sometimes they're good, but their strength lies in being able to push larger objects into position that they cannot or will not do for themselves. So yeah, sometimes tugboats are necessary, and we just need to see, can we be a tugboat? Can we motivate people to be more faithful? I mean, that's what we need to do. We'll just talk about a few more. There's a fireboat. Yeah, we know what this are. We know out there where there's a lot of ships out there, okay, they have fireboats. They go in, they use the water to put out fires. And it would be good to put out fires, you know, as peacemakers, like the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. If we go out and we squelch the fires and get people back on the same track where they should be. But many of this character start and spread the fires. They create the fires instead of putting them out. And that's like we've discussed, these false teachers come in. And these individuals do that. They throw fuel upon the fire to enhance its destructive power. You know, if there's a fire out there, you know you're not going to throw a can of gasoline on it. No, that's the wrong thing to do. So, yes, sometimes fireboats. Putting out the problems of helping others fix their problems, that's a good thing. But starting fires, that's a bad thing. And then we know about carriers. Yes, there's different kinds of carriers. Some are aircraft carriers, and some are cargo carriers, and some are troop carriers. They're different kinds. And of course, we would be considered blessed if we carried the news of good tidings. Yes, we should be. We should be able to do that anyway. But many carriers just carry problems to and fro. I mean, that's all they do. And often people are content for others to carry their load. Sometimes they do. I mean, so we've talked about these individuals tonight. And then a tanker, just plain full of fuel or fumes and waiting for a spark to set it off. You know, if it's full, it's full of fuel. And when it's empty, it's full of fumes. And really, in either case, a spark would cause a lot of damage. And some people are kind of like this. They like to spread the fuel on the fire, and they like to cause dissension and problems. So for some, it's like they get a thrill out of it. When you cause problems between two people who are best friends, and all of a sudden you cause a rift, and now they're not talking to each other anymore. Some people are actually thrilled that has happened. Then a surfboard. I mean, you're taking your life in your feet and your balance. And that's really letting the waves move you. I mean, so we could talk about that. And then there's a schooner, which is really nothing more than an oversized sailboat. So we have that. And then a kayak. You know, kayak rolls and rolls, but rider is always wet. I mean, you go along, if you're going to get in a kayak, you know you're going to get wet. And so, and it rolls over real easy, and you have to learn how to get right back up. But still, the rider is always wet. So we could talk about that. A racing boat. I mean, what is this? Some people just got to go. You know, some people are like that. They don't want to hang around, so I mean, as soon as amen is said, gotta go. Some people are like that. But patience is not allowed on this boat. mean, racing is there for one purpose, to win the race. And if you're going to take your time and be patient about something, then you're in the wrong business. So we don't really need racing boats. Yes, there's a urgency we need to have, realizing that souls are at stake. And so, yes, we do need to show some urgency, but we don't need to be going so fast that we don't stop and help someone along the way, that we don't help and guide people with the right instructions, setting them the examples that they need to follow. You know, we could talk about a raft. I mean, some people build a raft because it's a picture of despair. They get stuck on an island. So what do? They cut down some trees, lash the boards together, and they think, well, we're going to get out there. If I can get past that reef, I might have a chance. Get out in the shipping lanes, and maybe I'll have a chance. But even then, rafts, that they're not guaranteed that they're going to be any safety or will produce any life-saving effects. And then there's a ferry. I mean, back and forth. And these ferries, they never get anywhere except back and forth. But they are helping others reach their destination, and that can be a good thing. We get into a routine, and yeah, I mean, it almost becomes nothing more than a routine. But if we can help someone along the way reach their desired goal, reach their destination, then it's worth it. So yes, we go through the same things over and over. We come to church on Sunday, we go home. We come to church Sunday night, we go home. We do the same things over and over, just like a ferry. But if we can help anyone along the way, that is a good thing. I mean, we could talk about a glass bottom boat, and nothing hidden there. And then the cruise ship. You know, when you think of cruise ship, you think of the love boat. Open fornication is really what that show is all about. But anyway, that's not the kind of ship we need to have. And we talked about a cruiser just cruising on by. We could mention a spaceship, but that's way out there. So we're not going to worry about that tonight. We could call this sermon Satan's Fleet. I mean, we had the Christian fleet of all the discipleship and the stewardship and the fellowship with all the good things that those ships offer. We could call this Satan's Fleet. And there's probably other vessels which I can't think of right now. If you can think of any, let me know and I'll just add it to the list here. But anyway, probably more that we could be listing here. But we must travel on the right ships if we are to be in fellowship with God. So remember that. We've got to be in the right ship. And the right ship is through discipleship. So the question is, what kind of ship are you? What kind of ship are you on? And what are you traveling on through life? I mean, very simple question, and it's just something to consider. And this isn't your typical sermon, but it's something worth considering and talking about. All right, that's our lesson for this evening. We do offer the invitation. If anyone does need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Please change that to Psalm 496. 496. 496. We will be singing the first sentence of 496. 496.
We have an anchor. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? steadfast and sure, while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our blessings. We thank you for this bread which represents the body of Jesus that is hung upon the cross. As we partake of this, may we consider that sacrifice and do in a manner pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we continue our thanks for this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that Jesus poured out on the cross. And we recognize it's the blood of the new covenant. And as we partake of this, we pray we'll do so in a manner pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, if anyone wants to contribute, plates up here. Let's just remember we have a lot of people that we talked about this morning that need our prayers, people who have lost loved ones, families of those who are suffering and the loss of their loved ones. Especially, let's remember those who lost their lives in the tornadoes, their families, having to deal with all these funerals now. So, I mean, that's very touching. Of course, a lot of damage, a lot of people lost their homes. And we hear all the time, flooding, this place or that place, people losing their homes from fires and things like that. So there's a lot of people who we just need to pray for. We may not know their names, but we know they need help. So we can always ask God to give them help. And yes, we have family. We have our own members who have different health issues that we need to deal with. And we have families and loved ones that are suffering in some way. So just keep everybody in your prayers. Always remember that. Chris.
Can I have prayers for the family that I work for, the mom and daughter of Wendy Indian?
Okay.
And
yeah.
I want...
All right, Chris nannies for a family, and the mother and daughter went to India, so let's pray for them, and all the others that we're considering. Still, there's more doctor's appointments coming up that we got to think about. All right, and I put this sermon together quite a while back, so I wasn't making any reference to our visitors. Floating around, going from place to place. Now, just know that. All right, we're going to be closing for that.
We have one more song. We'll close in prayer. 267.
267, and then we'll let Brother Hines dismiss us.
267. First stanza. 267.
If you have all have it, shall we begin? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Mom had to do that. She go by the heat all day long.
Okay.
I sure will. Hopefully. I will. Yeah. Bob is sitting up there right beside
him. Oh, I know. All
right. Okay.
Perfect. Thanks.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Perfect.
I got to get up early in the morning, too. I'm going to get up early in the morning, too. Yep.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, I got yellow.
Let's see.
Here, let me show you. Look, I got the text. Do you have a picture of you and the Christmas tree?
You can tell it again.
Yes. They asked me. My co-worker, I told her I'm taking it to a party. Now she's wanting to see the picture. You see? It came in just before services started. Look at it.
Yeah.
Hi, do you have a picture of you in the costume? Give me
Oh, boy.
Give me a break. You know?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's kind of like I need a note. So, I'm going to keep it back in.